Okay, once again, we're live, man. Thanks everybody for jumping in live. If you guys are listening right now, I got myself and our friend from the forum there, NFL forum, NHL forum. Bernie's jumping on. Bernie, what's going on, man? How's your day going?
Doing okay. Still fighting a little bit of this cold weather, even down here in the south, but makes it feel like more like hockey weather, so I guess it's okay.
Man, I was just complaining, man. I was at the bar last night catching some of the Monday Night Football. Yeah, so the guy's complaining there, man. It's getting cold around here. I was like, man, we Californians, man. We always complain. Anything under 65, well, we're pissed off around here, man. You know, I don't think I can live in Chicago, any of these real hockey cities, man. I don't think I can do it at all. All right, let's jump into it. All right, first of all, we got Colorado going to New Jersey, first game off the board. If you guys are listening now, we're going in rotational order there. So we'll start with the 4 o'clock games and move all the way down. Bernie, let's see what we got here. Avs coming up the loss, man. They got the back-to-back, the only team on the back-to-back, if I'm correct, for today going to New Jersey. New Jersey is a team who I've been up and down on. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, I was harping on their offense. It seems to me that their defense has definitely gotten better. Looking at the numbers here, last 10 games, 2.2 goals against adjusted there. I take out the OT goals. So 2.2 goals against their last 10 games is pretty damn good. Bernie, I'm still not in love with the offense, though, man. I'll keep coming back to that, not in love with the offense. The question is, do they need a lot of offense going up against the Avs? The Avs tend to give up a lot of goals. We saw that happen last night. So what do you think about this one? I don't have any qualms there with the number. I don't really have a side. I think the Avs have a shot, but I'm not interested in jumping in. I need to see more from Jersey. They need to put up 3 regulation goals for me in this game. They should be able to.
You know, I did look at the game briefly last night. I really wasn't coming up with a side, but the more you emphasize the point about the Avs defense, I did take a quick look at the numbers there real quick over this game. And if you look, we go over to the last, let's see, 7 games for the Avs. They surrendered 5, they surrendered 4, they surrendered 7, they surrendered 1, they surrendered 5, they surrendered 3, and they surrendered 5. So they're giving up 17, 25, 30 goals in the last, 7 games. That's over 4 goals a game they're giving up right now. So like you said, they might not. New Jersey might not need to have that much offense to score against this team tonight. And I look at a couple brief numbers here as we were talking as well. In a road game where the total is 5 or less, Colorado 0-4 this year on the season. And also on back-to-back days, the Avs this year so far 0-2 on the season. So with the defense that Jersey's playing right now, and 5-on-5, they've been playing very well too as well. I think with them being good on the 5-on-5, and then Colorado even being bad on the power play this year and giving up so many goals, I think this is actually a bit of a cheap number for New Jersey tonight. I kind of like Jersey a little bit in this position. They're actually they're a winning ball club. They're 12-11, and you know, people keep knocking.
In the past, did we lose you back?
In the past,
there you go,
Jersey. They're not a great ball club, but they're a solid ball club. So, I mean, I don't understand it. They just don't want to be given credit. So I tend to do side with Jersey a little bit tonight on a short number.
Yeah, it's tough for me. Listen, I like what they – first of all, you know, we got to break down because there's 2 different things going on. The offense has been not exciting, stagnant. Look, they're only giving up 2.4 or scoring 2.4 goals a game, you know, overall
right.
This season. Only 2.0 bad at home. You know, so, I mean, we got to be frank with the fact that this defense, they're not being given credit because they're not scoring. They're not scoring consistently. You know, this is not a good team that's just being overlooked. You know, I'll go to the Flames last year. That was a team, to me, that was good being overlooked, right? And people pointed to possession stats. This is not a team being overlooked. I keep talking about them, but last time I checked, they have a staggering amount of OT wins, which I don't believe in. I don't think that's a skill. Similar to the Ducks last year, where the Ducks had an inordinate amount of games decided by 1-goal wins. It was something like 20-1. I don't believe that's something that's a talent, right? That's something that's either one you want to call good possession or bad possession, luck if you're winning. I think that's luck, too, if you're winning a bunch of 1-goal games. And the Ducks at that time admitted so that, hey, man, a lot of these games, a team shouldn't have been in it, and we let them in it and then had to come back furiously and end up winning the game by 1 that we should have won by 4. Our team should not have been in the game early. So to that point, you know, I didn't knock the Devils then, but I do knock their offense. You got to pick it up. This is not going to win games in the playoffs. But what has changed for me is their defense went from mediocre, and I love Schneider and Nett, went from mediocre to now top 10. That changed all their stats. Bad, even though their defense was not awful, all the numbers, the hard math was average or below average. I mean, do you remember the fact it was the first month that penalty kill was the last in the league? It was 30.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Yes. And right now, I think it's top 10. I'm going to go to it right now. I think that's changed dramatically. That's now fourth ranked. Right. So that has changed. The defense went from mediocre, not good enough to withstand an average offense, to now being able to go ahead and hold up an average offense. So that's what's changed for me. But you got to listen. You got an Avs team coming in there that doesn't believe that you're going to beat them by not scoring. In other words, this Avs team can't score. You need to outshoot them. We saw a shitty offense in the Islanders, had to win the game 5-3. They gave up 3. The Islanders got a damn good defense also. They give up 3 to the Avs. The Avs are going to score. The Avs are going to score. So this will be an interesting game. You got to look towards the over.
Yeah.
Again, we're seeing a little bit of money come in on the Avs. The number's a little underneath. See, if this gets to minus 30, and I don't know if we're going to have time. Yeah, we got 4 hours. If this gets to minus 30, I'd be interested in the Devils. But not until then. About right now, the number's just blah. The number's right where it should be. You're not getting any kind of value there jumping on the Devils yet. Yeah, but the
Colorado,
number's moving down.
Colorado 4-0 the last 4 games against New Jersey as well, including the last 2 straight in New Jersey they've won as well. So, you know, there are some things to like about Colorado, except for, you know, the back-to-backs, they're terrible. And then they're in a 3-4 situation again tonight as well, and they're 0-4 this year on the 3-4 situation. So it's a pass game with so many games on the schedule. You know, if I had to side on the game, I'd side with New Jersey, but it's really a pass game with plenty much more to like on the schedule than this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go to the next one there. And if you guys are listening in, feel free to tweet. You guys can shoot us out again. If you guys got a question at your 15,000, let me know. I'll get it on the show, whether it's for myself or Bernie. And, of course, you guys know we're going to talk about that Rangers-Carolina game. So let's go through maybe half of the games, and then we'll talk about that one as I take another victory for the 4 against the Possession Lovers. So you know you guys got to go ahead and celebrate that. Because trust me, if the Hurricanes won, I would have heard a lot about it on Twitter from all the Possession guys with their compasses and their protractors. All right, let's keep it going. Columbus goes to Montreal. Here we go, man. I find this game very interesting. You know, as we look to it now, maybe Condor's not given enough love. I know I never heard of the kid, and he's actually playing pretty well. That team's playing better in front of him, and oddly bad. Now this is a team that can score. You know, my whole thing about the Habs, I didn't think they'd get up to a good start. I didn't think they have a great year. 2 reasons. Didn't think Price could be that good of a price again, and the team was just not an offensive team. This now is a team that can score. I think this line's very low, very low. I made this one as 197, and again, I give the Jackets 40 cents every time I play them because that 7 games, BT, as I say, BT before Torts, I give them credit for that because they're a different team. Even giving them that 40 cents, this line is very, very short, but at the same time, not interested in jumping in because I fear the Jackets. I like this team. I'd rather play on them. The Jackets are a team you want to play at home, not on the road, because you usually get value with them on the road because of their previously awful home stats, right? So you get a good number with the Jackets at home. You don't get the good as a number with them on the road. Like I said, right now, you're not getting a good number for playing the Jackets, but whether or not they're going to win or not is a different question, Bad. So who do you think can actually win this game?
Well, you know, I move towards the total a little bit on this game because, like you said, Montreal has picked up their scoring. But, you know, I think it was yesterday they announced that Price is now definitely out for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the team is going to realize that, you know, Condon is the man they have to back right now. There's no sitting around waiting and see when Carey's going to be back. He's gone for 6 weeks. So I think that defensively they'll respond a little bit towards him a little bit better and knowing that he's going to be there for 6 weeks and they have to rely on him. So, but their scoring has just been, you know, the situation that's been blowing me away is that Montreal's just putting up all these goals. I mean, they're having great, great success. 3.8 goals the last 4 games, the last 5 games or so. And, really put big numbers up. Put up 5 on the Rangers, back to back 5-4 on the Islanders. I mean, they're doing it all ways, and you know. But then again, too, I think some of these teams that that jumped out early, and like you said, we'll get to Carolina and the Rangers. Montreal has kind of slowed down defensively as well. They're giving up 2-3 a game. So, I mean, and Columbus seems to be scoring a little bit more now, like you said, before Tort was a big situation. So, another game that is very, very hard to cap. The number is right there where you say, God, I'd love to make Montreal at this cheap of a price, but at the same time, Columbus has been playing better defensively. And so, you know, Montreal's going to have to score if they're going to win the game. It's not going to be I don't think that they're going to win the game if it's a low-scoring game. I think it has to be a high-scoring game for Montreal to get the job done tonight.
Man, I like the way you put that. It has to be a high-scoring game for Montreal to get the job done. I think I'd phrase it that way too, man. The interesting thing about it, man, this Columbus team is playing good defense, man. 2.2 goals against their last 10, and that's before I adjusted. Bad, if you take out empty netter goals and overtime goals, it goes down to 1.8 goals against their last 10 games, man. This team is playing great defense. Again, not surprised. Listen to all the media. There's so much hate about Tortorella. Now, I'm sure he rubbed people the wrong way, but he sat on that NHL network show, you know, for half the season, or for 2 weeks of the season, if you will. Man, as soon as he left, a lot of these old players and coaches, man, got a lot of negative shit to say, man. Very interesting. I didn't know there was that much hate. I always thought the guy was, you know, fun, entertainment-wise. He doesn't seem to be loved throughout the league. So, you know, I always kind of root for those guys. I like when the media is against somebody, kind of stick it to them. You know, so I root for them to get the win here. But I'm with you. They're playing such a defense. Can they go in and play a defensive game against Montreal? We saw them play that game against St. Louis. But St. Louis is not really a great offensive team. So,
yeah, that defense hasn't been against any slouches either. St. Louis twice, Pittsburgh
right.
twice, San
Pittsburgh
Jose,
game,
Nashville,
yeah.
Ottawa. Yeah, I mean, so they're beating, you know, they're shutting down good teams offensively. So, I mean, they even held Arizona to 2. And we know what they've been doing lately. So, I mean, it's a situation that their defense, like I said, I'm looking for Columbus and under or Montreal and over, one of the two. So.
Yeah, I like that. I'd love to play Montreal. I'd love to play this game over, in fact, again, because Condon's playing well. Oh, wow, I do have a 5.5. I didn't, you know, bad last night, this wasn't a 5.5. Now it is. You know, I think I'm actually going to play the under 5.5. This was not a game I looked at. Again, last night when I was doing the live, didn't see. It was fives pretty much everywhere. I don't know when it happened. Maybe it happened over the morning. Let me go check and see. This happened about 9 a.m. my time here on the West Coast. It went to 5.5. Actually, now, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take the under now. I think Columbus can handle them offensively. Montreal's a damn good team offensively. No doubt about it. But you give me the 5.5, and then I think Condon's playing well enough to go and handle Columbus. I'll take the under there. All right, let's jump to the next one there.
That's
Philadelphia
that's
here. Go ahead.
It's just scary you say that because, you know, it's almost that you can like the over 5, but I can't like the – you're right. I can't like the over 5.5. That this is one of those situations that I think it's going to – you know, it might get to 5 very easily, but I don't know if it's going to get to 6.
Not with Columbus. They've proven that their defense is for real. I'll mention it. That's why I find this team utterly fascinating because BT, again, before Torts there – every single game of their first 7 games, they gave up 4 goals or more. Every single one of them. And they've not done it since but twice. They've had 17, I think now 18 games with Torts. They've only given up 4 goals or more twice. And they did it the first 7 games each fucking time. The defense has utterly changed, and it handled quickly. Even on back-to-backs, the defense has played well.
Seeing some 52s and 53s out there as well, so maybe get under 150 on this game as well later too with Montreal. So. It's definitely one to watch tonight. I think that's going to be it's a situation that it could be a very competitive game to watch. Could be quite physical, so it should be a good game.
All right, let's jump to the next one. And I think a lot of that number has to do with Condon, man. I'm not sure if there's a lot of there's belief there. Again,
yeah.
I think with this game at Columbus, we'd see a totally different game just because of the numbers, the hard numbers when they make these lines. The hard numbers suggest that Columbus does not play as well at home, and it's totally false. All right, Philadelphia going to Ottawa here. Let's see here. I made this $199 for Ottawa. I think you're getting a good price, surprisingly so, going up against the Flyers. Honestly, I did not play Ottawa. They have jumped up in my rankings there. They're in the top 10 right now. Props to them. They're doing it mostly with offense, man. Bad 3.6 goals a game the last 10, man, 3.2 on the season overall, 2.7 goals for at home. So they're getting the job done offensively. They can score in spreads, man. I have a bias there against Anderson. I don't love him. I don't think he's good enough. I prefer to see Ham, just like I called it, in Detroit. There's no doubt about it. There's one goalie that's better than the other in Detroit, and I think there's one goalie that's better in Ottawa. But in this case, Ham is still hurt. Don't know. I haven't heard anybody mention how long he's going to be out, but it's been a while. I'd like to see him come back, obviously, when healthy. I'm just not a fan of Anderson. I did take this one under there. Got a pretty sizable on this one. Bad. I'll throw that out to the people there. Only because anytime I can get a 5.5 on a Philadelphia game, Philadelphia should never be lined at 5.5 ever until they decide that they can score. Now, it looks like they've been scoring bad. 3 goals in a couple of games of those games. One of those are overtime. One's an empty netter. Utterly magic, mirror, smoke. They're not a scoring team. You know, they're under. Once you adjust for overtime and empty netter, this team scoring 1.3 goals a game in their last 10 games. This is not an offensive team. This is not a team I'm scared about, but I am scared about Anderson. So I'd rather play the under than play Ottawa, though you're getting a great number if you do like the Sens. How about yourself? And am I just wrong? Oh, listen, I'm open, bad to say, just being I'm wrong on Anderson. And I say that it's a bias because it is a bias. I'm not even going into his numbers. I just don't like him. He gives up cheap goals, and I'm still angry about that Nashville 7-5 game where a fucker gave up 7 goals. I'm very upset about that still. I'll never forget that game. So you tell me, how's Anderson? What do you think about this game? What do you think about Philadelphia?
Yeah, I kind of left this game off my card, and I actually think I'm going to add Ottawa to my card tonight because the Anderson situation was the only reason I did leave this off the card, because you're right. He's not. I don't have confidence in him at all, none. So, but if you look over his last 4 games, he's actually 3-1, and he's only given up 11 goals in the last 4 games. So, I mean, and one of them being, I think, like you said, a bunch. So, I think if you throw the one out, then the other 3 games or 4 games, he's done quite well. So, Ottawa has just been scoring a lot of goals, and if you look, what they got 3, 8, 19. 25, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're over 4 goals a game in their last 6 games. And I just think with a team like that can score as they can and have been scoring lately against a team like Philly who can't score, right. I tend to side Ottawa at home tonight. They're coming off a nice rest road trip where they had, they had a road trip and now they come home. First game home off a nice road trip with a couple days rest. I think the defense
for Philly. I just saw that.
Right. I think the defense should respond good enough to hold Philly off the board, and I think that they're playing good enough offensively right now. And the number is dropping, Jay Rich. I don't understand that at all. I mean, I think it opened in the 60s or so, and it's down from there or something like that. Do you have that in front of you by any chance?
Yeah, I saw 50s. Let me go back here. And it is, under 50s in some spots. We're pretty much 150, 155. Yeah, I'm going to parlay. The under is a great number, 5.5 again. Philly should never be 5.5. I'm going to parlay the under with Ottawa.
Ottawa's won 4 of their last 5 with their only loss coming at Arizona the other night, who's playing quite well in a 4-3 game. It was a close game. I did watch that because I had Ottawa on my card the other night. They've beaten Philly 3 out of the last 4 times in Ottawa, including a 4-0 victory earlier this season as well. They beat them 4-0 in November, which was probably, 10 days ago? That doesn't seem right, does it? 11-21-15? Yeah, they did. 4 games ago, they beat Philly 4-0 at home with the same line at 150. 5.5 under, and it was 4-0. So, yeah, I tend to come right back to that. Let's see how Philly has done on revenging games. 3-11, revenging against loss versus an opponent. Philly is this year, so nothing to scream about as far as coming back on somebody. I think Ottawa undershoots to be the side. No, exactly.
Yeah, right. I think I'll go ahead and throw Ottawa in there. Definitely throw that Montreal. I think I like a little parlay with the Philadelphia Ottawa under 2 right now. That'd be a good play for me also. All right, let's go to the next one there. I'll mention Mason being in that is huge too. It worries me somewhat about the under for me, but I don't like him. I like Norberg better than Mason right now. I'm a Mason supporter. I just think one's outplaying the other. So that's something, again, if you like Ottawa there. All right, let's jump to the next one here. What do we got? Buffalo going to Detroit. Good, man. Great, great matchup here. Great matchup. Two teams playing. Great defense. You know, I really like the way Buffalo's coming on. They're coming on strong there. They're moving up the polls. They finally had their first good surge for me, bad. Let me pull it up right now. Buffalo finally had a good surge, and it's not big, but they went to 25th. And that they were stuck. They were stuck at second worst team. And it's hard to get up under, get off from under awful stats. And they're doing it, and they're doing it defensively. They're doing it defensively. You know, they've got their shot percentage down to 18th ranked. That's pretty good. So they're doing the job, again, defensively. As is Detroit, finally, Howard Dass will sit on the bench again, thankfully. Again, I say he should not play. Don't stick his head from up under the bench until March or something like that. When let Mesurek go crazy, like when Miller goes or when Schneider goes 20 games straight. Let the kid just play, because Howard just is awful. Oh, he comes in, it automatically your save percentage goes down 15%. Just tanks. The difference in their GAA is the good .2. Get the hell out of here. We're putting Howard in there and trying to boost his confidence. So I'm happy for that. I think you got a good price there early on with Detroit or early on with Buffalo, but now it's swung down. I think that the line's come down now. We're seeing 170s, 163 out there, bad. My number came to 168. So no beat the number there. I couldn't pick a winner here. I like both of these teams. So I'd more likely take the plus money, but I like both of the clubs here. What about yourself?
Well, you know, we've talked about it in the past. I'm not really a big fan of the puck line, but this Buffalo Sabre team has been a phenomenal puck line team on the road this year. I think they're like 13-1 on the road as a puck line team. And there's a couple of stats that just jump off the paper. I mean, Detroit is 13-1 their last 14 games at home against Buffalo. 13-1. Now, the team's got to come in and say, listen, we got to go in there and win sooner or later. I mean, you know, I know the phrase do is just overused a lot, but 13-1, only one win out of 14 games in Detroit for Buffalo. The thing I wanted to point out is with this Buffalo team that I find very interesting, and I think they're vastly improved. I really think they're a lot better, and I think you're going to find some value in this team still for the next five or six games, especially who they play. And so I would keep an eye on them with Detroit, Arizona, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Calgary. You got five games. I would expect Buffalo maybe to win three of those five outright. I really do. The last time we jumped back when they got on a winning streak was earlier in November. They beat Vancouver, Tampa, and Florida in a row. They went into the Florida, you know, road trip there where you got to play Tampa and Florida on the road. They won both games on the road in Florida, and not a lot of teams can do that. Coming out of that three-game winning streak, they had to play San Jose, who was in the midst of a six-game road trip that they won six in a row, and that was during that road trip. Then they had to play Dallas, go into St. Louis, into Dallas, and play St. Louis again. I think it was just a bunch of scheduling bad luck for them after getting three good wins. To have to play San Jose, Dallas, St. Louis, Dallas, and St. Louis back-to-back. So, I mean, those were like five tough games in a row after. And they were very competitive. 2-1 San Jose, 3-1 Dallas, 3-2 St. Louis, 2-1 St. Louis. Dallas, at Dallas, they only lost 3-0. They were very, very competitive. Now they come out of that, now they lose 3-2 to Nashville, and then they come out beating Carolina 4-1 and Nashville 4-1 back-to-back. I think this team is a lot better than what a lot of people are going to give them credit for still right now, and I think that these next five games will show that they're a lot better than what they are, including tonight's game. I like Buffalo a lot tonight.
Nice. Okay, nice. A Buffalo team I'm rooting for, as are the Red Wings, though, as are the Red Wings. Both of these teams need to score. I mean, both of these teams' scoring numbers are eerily similar. Both under 2.3 goals a game. Shit, I mean, when you adjust, they're actually both the same. After adjusting for, again, the empty netters and the shit and the overtime goals there, they're both only scoring 2.0 goals a game, you know, their last 10. I mean, that's really bad. Buffalo's actually playing the better defense. And, again, I blame Howard for that. All right,
just briefly on this game, touch as well on the under, because sure. I like the under in this game as well. There's when I, you know, you notice the for and against, you know, all games Buffalo for and against 4.8 goals. Road games all for and against 4.8 goals. First of division for and against 4.9 goals. Last five games, Buffalo, 4-against, 4.2 goals. Detroit, the same way. They're 4.8, 4.4, 4.6. If this isn't a solid underplay, you're not going to get one. This is pretty much the numbers point that this game should play under. Now, You know, we've seen it like last night with the Rangers, but I mean, I'm going to tell you that this game looks like one of the most solid 100 plays you're going to ever find in your life. I'm putting this one out tonight as one of my bigger plays, and I look for this to be a 2-1 game either way.
There you go. Hey, man, if you guys are listening in, there's no doubt about it. I will only say that I will agree with Bad there. All right, let's jump to the next one here. Florida. Florida going with St. Louis. Florida game is going to St. Louis. Bad, another game I expect a good defense to be played here. I'll go ahead and say I definitely like this first period. It's one of the better first period stats games out there. Probably should be a 2-star. Just didn't have any more room on the premium card today, but I really like that one. So I'll put that out there as a free play along with that Columbus Montreal under the 5.5 there. So the first period in this Florida game here. Matt, I mean, I made this line 151. You're seeing 160s, 163s out there now. That line has came down. You know, earlier it was 180-something. I thought that was ridiculous, utterly overpriced there for St. Louis. But the numbers come down. So now, you know, whichever team you want to take, you know, I wouldn't really have any qualms. If you bet St. Louis early, I think you just got raped there on the number. Both of these teams need to score. Both of these teams need to score bad. Another two are really lighting the lamp. St. Louis, even at home, going down from 2.7 goals overall, goes down to 2.3. They're worse as far as lighting the lamp at home than they are in general, but the defense is much better. 2.1 goals against when they get to the home ice there. Florida's got to score also, man. Florida's got to score also. They had trouble last year. They got lucky with that Detroit goal in the late, 10, 30 seconds there in that game. So I expect St. Louis to win this game. They got the better offense there, but they're just straight up there. If Allen's going to be in that, I'm assuming it's Allen. I'll go and check that as you talk there. So who do you like in this one? You know, I'll take a lean to St. Louis. I'd like to get the number a little lower, though. I'd like to get the number a little lower. And wouldn't take a regulation, man, if these teams could definitely play to a 1-2-2 draw, of course. How about yourself?
I lean the same way as you. Allen has just been playing phenomenal lately. And, you know, they come into this game. This is another situation game where one team has dominated the other team completely. St. Louis is 6-0 the last six times they played the Panthers. They just totally own this team. So, you know, you get St. Louis at home. They've been very, very hot lately. Allen's been phenomenal. So, I mean, it's the weird thing we have on the Blues is they have, starting with Chicago in earlier in November, it's a loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. And technically, it should be, if they continue the same trend, it'd be a loss tonight. But once again, you got a couple days off for St. Louis. They come off a good win against Columbus the other night. It was a very good win. I realize it was a back for back. It was back for back for both teams. But I think I put St. Louis out on the puck line the other night in this game, and it was 3-1 St. Louis over Columbus. And the only thing you're finding right now with St. Louis is they're a bit overpriced, just like you said, in almost every game. So it's kind of hard to back them a lot lately because you're laying big numbers with them almost every game. And so I wasn't surprised to see the early line where it was, but you're right, it settled back down. And if you could get it a little bit longer, a little bit lower, I think that St. Louis is probably the side to take.
All right, let's go to another game I'm looking forward to watching here. Arizona, Nashville. No shock here that Nashville's too high, let's say. I'll put it nicely there, minus 180, minus 190. Well, for a team that just has not been able to find the net, even with the compass there, they're having trouble scoring also. But for some damn reason, continues to be favoring the lines. We saw the Buffalo number. That was outrageous there, even putting a rookie in net, they're still charging you the minus 2-something to play Nashville, and I saw a lot of people still doing that for some reason. Arizona's coming to town. They're actually playing better on the road, man. 7-3 are the Coyotes on the road here, Bad. 7-3, 2.7 goals for on the road. Obviously, the question is always their defense. The defense about average of late their last 10 games, while the Nashville Predators, who have seemed to be a defensive team, Bad, has actually not played as well defensively. Now, because they're losing some games there, that they got more goals against when you adjust for that shit, still about 2.4 goals against the last 10, which is actually below average. So the question is, who do you think is going to win this one, man? I give a lean to Arizona. This made my premium card there. I think you're getting a great, great number here to play the underdog. My number came to Nashville, minus 122. I have Arizona being the better team overall here, Bad. How about yourself?
Predators have just been a Jekyll and Hyde of the league so far this year. You can't figure out what team's going to show up and what team isn't. They just, I mean, we were discussing earlier last week, they put up seven two out of three games they put up seven goals. And two games after that, they get shut out three straight. How do you put up seven goals twice in 1 week and they get shut out three times the next? It just doesn't make any sense. And not only is their scoring went down, Rene has not been as solid as he probably should, you know, should be. He's always been their wall. And over the last few games, I don't actually think he's been all that good. He's actually 0-4 the last four games. And so it probably a lot of that due to the fact that they aren't scoring goals. But, you know, he's also, you know, if you can't shut him down defensively, how's it going to help? So, I mean, this is a weird game tonight. I like Nashville. I mean, I like Arizona because they've been so up-tempo. But I actually, with the game, I went to the over in this game because I felt like Nashville has got to start scoring goals sooner or later. And tonight might be a game where, you know, somebody gets up 3-2 and you get an empty net at the end. Six should be easy to catch. I don't think it's going to be any problem with this number getting to five tonight. If we look, besides getting shut out, Nashville still should have five almost every game for the whole season, pretty much so. So those three games they got shut out, that wouldn't be it. But other than that, they've been pretty much up in the number the whole season. So I looked over on this game. Two out of the last three games played at Nashville between the two have been over. Nashville is 3-0 the last three against Arizona at home. So you never know what's going to happen. Did somebody go in the locker room and kick the door down and say, guys, we got to get our shit together after losing five out of the last six? I'm not sure if they said that or not. You know, you'd think somebody would have some leadership on the Predators to, you know, try to shake this team up a little bit because they've been absolutely horrendous scoring the last five, six, seven games. So I look for a turnaround a bit from them tonight. And with Arizona pressing the game, pressing it up tempo, I look for the over a little bit tonight.
No doubt about it. You know, I'll give you a couple of things for that side, man. Nashville, man, 5-0 the last five they played against the Coyotes there. And you know, here's the thing. This is the worst. This is going to be the worst defense Nashville's seen in some time.
Right.
You know, they haven't been scoring, but even in Buffalo, people don't think about Buffalo. Buffalo's a damn good defensive team right now. They've seen good defensive teams, or at least average, just the first below average defensive team. Now, Arizona was wake the hell up and shock you. Again, they're 7-3 on the road. You know, they'll wake up and shock you there and suddenly, you know, defend. You know, so I don't think it's a lock for Nashville just to suddenly score just because we've seen them do it before. And this is not a scary team. They're only averaging 2.5 goals a game on the season. You know, this is not a scoring team. This is a team who's suddenly scoring even below their already average scoring numbers. You know, so this is a team who's an average scoring team and now suddenly is below average. So maybe they creep up and turn into an average scoring team, and that's 2.5 goals a game. So maybe they score two. Maybe they score two. You know, but I'd be surprised if they get shut out. But I wouldn't be locking in on them shutting in on Arizona, even though it's the worst defense that they've seen in a while.
Yeah, actually, with Rennie, he's given up three goals a game over the last four games, and that's an awful lot. So, I mean,
that's odd for him.
I've
heard about that. People questioning him.
Okay.
I know previous years he's been injured, but I don't think he's hurt. I think he's just not playing as well.
Well, yeah, it's a situation where he's not playing it well right now. They're giving up three goals. And here's an angle I've used before, and I had to start, and I just checked my notes because I'm trying to go over this as we're speaking. These two teams, the last three times they've played, between them, 9 power plays, 8 power plays, 10 power plays. Okay, so they're averaging 9 power plays per game. I believe both teams are in the bottom in the power play defense, aren't they?
As far as killing penalties?
Yeah, as far as killing penalties, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Nashville, 22nd ranked, and Arizona is actually 11th at 81%.
Okay, so Arizona's a little bit better than Nashville, but Nashville's near the bottom. So if you're going to get 9 power plays, you're going to look for probably at least maybe 2 goals out of the 9. So I just think 5 should be an easy number to get to tonight, and that's why I went to the over.
Man, absolutely. Yeah, I won't knock that at all. I won't knock that at all. Both of them need to actually get their power plays going anyway. Both of them, maybe they need each other to do so. Let's jump to the next one here. Before we do so, I already crossed the middle of the table. I was going to hit it at the fifth game. Bad, no need for you to jump in here, but if you got thoughts, no, please, I love to hear them. But this is John's time for him to crush the possession lover. Sorry, you guys went down again. And look, man, this is an ongoing war. Some battles I win, some battles you guys win, but I've won three in a row. I'll take my victory with the Flames last year, making the playoffs. All you possession guys hated on them. I'll take my victory with the Islanders going down and against the Capitals in that series. All you possession guys loved the Islanders last year with their pretty possession stats. And now the Rangers have beat up on the shitty Carolina Hurricanes twice in a row, even though they have the glorious, they're top five and everything bad. You go look at all the possession stats, everybody tells me these matter above most. These matter above anything. Above being a good person on this earth, you must have good possession numbers. And the Canes have all of them, every one you would want. They draft, only look at possession. They only go to free agents based on possession, and they're doing a great job. If there's a Corsi and Fenwick trophy, Hurricanes are definitely going to get it this year. But, again, they lose, and they'll continue to lose because they don't score and they can't stop other teams from scoring. I don't give a damn how much possession they have. So I just wanted to get that out there. And, again, you guys will have a victory later on, and I'll take my lumps of coal and I'll eat my crow. But I didn't get any tweets last night from the possession crowd, so I'll hear from you next time. When the Rangers lose, I'll hear from you. And lastly, and I'll kick it to you, Bad, lastly here, what's up with the Rangers? This is a very annoying fan base. The Rangers team, it has a lot to do. Oh, let me finish, Bad, and I'll kick it to you. Our team has 2 points. One, it's a team in New York. Because Calgary was winning last year without good possession stats, and no one cared, and I think it's because of Calgary. The Rangers are winning with bad possession stats, and I understand. Some of it's a little joke between me and you and the crowd, but I understand that some of the shit matters. I mean, they gave up 3 goals, and they're giving up an enormous amount of shots, so I'm not pretending that it doesn't matter. I just don't think it's the only thing that matters. Again, you can't be great possession and not be able to score the puck, so just not a good enough. There's no better team in this league right now throwing shitty shots at the net than the Hurricanes. But getting back to the Rangers, they continue to win, and they're just bitching and moaning. And I'm talking about fans, and I'm talking about people who are predominant writers and whose opinions matter in this sport, just bitching and crying in the second period of the game when they're up 3-1. Utterly annoying. I haven't seen this before. When your Pens fans cried about Fleury, that was annoying, but it's not as bad as this. When the Kings bitch fans cried about Quick giving up a couple of goals early last year, that wasn't as annoying as this. This is very, very annoying. Every game, before the game even ends, while they're up, they're screaming. So the damn statement, if it's like a slogan running for president, win the way we want you to win is what these babies cry. Don't win this way. Win the other way. They're winning. Shut the hell up and enjoy the show. Bad, the floor is yours.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. If you get the W, it really doesn't matter how you get the W as long as you put it up on the board. I myself just don't think that they can continue to play like this. I mean,
but that's what they said about the Flames, Bad. I hate this. I hate this when it comes to possession. I'm going to give it to you, and again, I will acknowledge I could be wrong on this, but I heard the same shit with the Flames last year. They won't be able to sustain it. And then based on what? Based on what? This team was the Rangers team, 11-4? What do you mean they can't sustain it? Obviously, it's better to not let one team shoot at the net 50 times. I get that. But why can't they sustain it? People just say they just make it up. It's just a made-up stat. What do you mean they can't sustain it? The Flames couldn't sustain it. They did last year. Why can't the Rangers do it this year? Playing it even better. Their numbers, aside from possession, are off the charts good right now, Bat. Off the charts good. Off the charts good. Their defensive shooting percentage is as low as I've ever seen it. As I've ever seen it. Why can't they sustain it? We just make this up.
They almost tend to remind me a little bit of the Pens a couple of years ago when they were beating teams 6-5 and 7-6 and stuff like that. And I'll give you that. If you've got to get it together defensively eventually. I don't think that you can go deep into the playoffs if you don't play enough defense. And you can't give up 35-40 shots a goal per game against teams every game.
You can if your goalie's good.
Yeah, well, you can, but I mean. I don't know if you watched last night. They did not look good defensively. Not good at all.
You know, I get it. But this is the number one team not allowing teams to score.
Goals against?
They're only giving up. They're the number one goals against right now team. 2.01, 2.04. The number one team. And these fans are bitching. Get out of here. Listen, I get it. I understand the theory. I get it. but there's two waves of the team. There's offensive defense. There's one guy is a job not allowing shots, and the other guy is to not to let the shot go into net. The second guy is getting his job done. I get it. In a great world, you want both. Don't allow shots, and for the occasionally, what do you want, to give up only 15 shots a game? For those occasional that happen to trickle in, please, goalie, do your job because you're getting paid $10 million a year. So go ahead. Take the Carolina way of playing then. They don't let up shots. But you know what? The occasional ones they do, they go in the net. And to me, that's the whole
shots.
Point of this game. I don't understand it. And again, I'm an outsider. I'm coming in 5 years just looking at hard data. So I get
right.
what I'm wrong, but I don't understand the fury. I've never seen it. This is high pitch. This is high pitch for a team. I think still the best team in the league, and everyone's shitting on them. I get shitting on Calgary. They're Calgary. They're your little brother. No one cared about that team. Everyone was wrong then last year. I think they're going to be wrong again this year. Does this mean the team won the cup? No, they can't win the cup. This way bad. But they could still win games. I don't understand why they must win one way. I don't get it.
Let me just say this for them. They're getting offensive production from a lot of different people. You know, I mean, Nash was invisible last night. The other night he scored two or three the other night. And so, I mean, it's like when one guy steps down and offensively right now, another guy is stepping up. So, you know, I don't see them. And they have been good defensively in the past, and they got one of the best goalkeepers in the league. So I don't see this being something long-term for them, not whatsoever. I think that they've got only room to go up as even get better. But you're right. To complain about a team that's pretty much one of the top two, three teams in the league right now and pretty much dominating everybody they play, regardless of how they play, there's no reason to complain. Not at all. I mean, I'd be very happy right now if the Penguins were playing as well as the Rangers. So you're right.
Right.
To gripe over something like this is just, you know, it's theater almost, you know, for the writers
right.
because they have nothing bad to say about the team, really, to tell you the truth. So they've got to make something
up
about
them.
So, yeah.
And this is the first year. This is the first year that I'm following more writers on Twitter and reading more. Again, as I'm trying to expand my base and knowledge about this game. I've never seen it. Then I have to remind myself, this is a New York team, and more importantly, being a New York team, because the Islanders, no one seems to care about. They had great possession numbers last year. No one wrote poetically about them, about that team, until that Capitals series that everyone got wrong. But I think also this is a team that just lost in the final bad. So I think that has a lot to do with it too. We just lost in the final. I need you to be better than last year. We weren't good enough last year. And by the way, last year, I just looked up the numbers. Last year, they ended the season 20th in the Corsi numbers. So they weren't a great Corsi team last year.
Right.
You know, I just don't remember. But again, two things could happen. Maybe I wasn't following everybody. This team is playing well, but not possession-wise, maybe even worse than how they started last year. I just remember the last 2 years, man. This team would be awful defensively. That's all I remember. I mean, they would be giving up three goals a game, and maybe it was the possession shit, and just Lundqvist wasn't good enough. Lundqvist wasn't good enough to actually stop all the pucks. Maybe that's the case. Again, I don't remember the previous bad years, but I remember them always getting off to a bad defensive start in particular. Defensive start in particular, and I would laugh. Because who's this Rangers team that can't play any fucking defense, and then they fix it middle of the year or sometime around now? So maybe that's the case. But I think the New York team and them losing the final has a lot to do with it.
As much as we sit here and knock their defense, like you said, goals against, they're number one in the league. Power play, they're fifth in the league. And penalty kill, they're fifth in the league. So, I mean they're just,
numbers.
You know, it doesn't really matter. If you're winning games, you're winning games, and they're winning games. So until they start losing games, people just need to say, hey, be happy.
Bad. Who's the number one team in not allowing shots? You know, the number one team, the best team in the league, what everybody wants the Rangers to be, the best team in the league right now in not allowing shots? Want to take a guess?
Carolina?
That sorry-ass Hurricane team.
Yeah.
They only allow 25 shots a game. 25 shots. Now, listen, I have to admit, that's a great number. But the difference between 10th ranked in shots and 20th ranked in shots, we're talking about 1.5 shots a game. You know, Boston, a terrible defensive team right now, is allowing 28. Jersey, 4th ranked in shots, allowed is also 28. So Jersey's fourth ranked 28, Boston 10th ranked 28.7. Not even a full damn shot. That's the gripe I have with it. And we'll move on. I just have a gripe. It's not a big enough gulf between who's good and who's not good for a stat that I don't even think matters that much. All right, let's move on.
Exactly.
I've got my whole thoughts again, and I will acknowledge I can be totally wrong on this. I just like to talk stridently on the points that I'm passionate about, regardless if I'm wrong. All right, let's go. Minnesota goes to Chicago, and you guys feel free to tweet me out. All you possession guys, shoot me a tweet or so every night, all the time, as I make fun of you every night. Minnesota going to Chicago here. I got this minus 137 here for Chicago. It's very rare, Bernie, for us to get a fair number for the Hawks. Very, very rare. In fact, it happens maybe twice a year only. Got it minus 137 here. One number actually made it 148. I'm looking at 150s, 147s in a couple of spots here. Good number if you do like the Hawks. Much better team at home. 8-3 is this team at home. Scoring goes up from 2.8 to 3.1. Defense, tremendous gulf in their defense. 2.6 overall to 1.9 goes allowed only when they get a chance to go home. They're bad. So I expect to get a good game here. Minnesota still Jekyll and Hyde, a team, like you mentioned before, with another team we were talking about. This team, I just don't know what kind of team are they. Last year, they were no doubt a defensive club. This year, they're top 10 in all the offensive numbers, bottom 10 in all the defensive numbers bad. I can't see them putting together a good enough defensive game. So I'd lean over and lean to Chicago. I didn't take a shot with either one, but those would be my leans. Minnesota 1-4, their last five on the road, Bat. So what happens here in your opinion?
This is my biggest play of the night tonight on the Hawks.
Okay.
I look at this game and I see two teams going in opposite directions. I really do. I just don't understand this line at all. It just seems way, way too short. It did open even shorter than what it was. I've actually backed Minnesota two of the last three games, and they have shown me. I watched the games. In fact, it was one of the biggest plays of the year against Vancouver when they lost 3-2.
What do you see?
Wasn't they playing?
What are you seeing? What's the issue? What are you seeing when you watch them?
Offensively, they are just not being productive right now whatsoever.
Okay.
Whatsoever. And so,
because that was the thing that was bolstering them before the offense. So you're saying what they've been good at previously in the first 2 months or so, they're not doing as well the last couple of games that you've watched offensively, because the defense has never been that great. But offense, they were putting up 4-3 consistently. Now you're not seeing that.
Parisi went out for a little bit there, and they kind of went on a little bit of a slide, and they just haven't – the last few games have not been able to bounce back. And the only game they bounced back against was Nashville, and everybody's bounced back against them. So, I mean, if you're going to get your win over the last 10 days or so, or 2 weeks or so, play Nashville, you're going to get your win. So, other than that, they've lost 6 out of 7. They've surrendered 4 goals, 3 of those games. Like I said, you're getting two teams going in opposite directions. Hawks have won 5 out of 8 and been on the road. They went off that West Coast trip. They always look good when they come home off a West Coast trip. Their first game home has always been solid. The thing that I really find different with Minnesota, and this is, if we recall last year, when did they turn it around? What happened last year in Minnesota's season to turn it around? You remember? Right. Okay. And what has he been the last few games?
Man, average. I don't even talk about him. You see, I don't know what the numbers are, but I know they're not last year, because I rarely see him do a shutout, and he was shut out consistently last year.
Right. 1-3 the last 4 games. You know, he's given up 2.5 to 3 goals a game. He hasn't been strong on the road at all. He's 3-6 on the road.
They put another guy. Who's the other guy? Kumpler, who's that guy? That guy's awful. They put they would let him go off back-to-backs for years. They broke his back on back-to-backs last year.
Like
50, there was no chance while Darley was getting in. And now suddenly he got in. In my mind, I said, uh-oh. I think they're saying, hey, something's wrong here. We need to put that other guy who we know sucks. And that he got lit up. Whatever game he played, I was shocked when I saw him on the sheet to start. What the hell is he doing in the game? I think that says a lot about how Dove's been playing.
This is a revenge game too. I like to come back. Minnesota beat them in October 5-4 in Minnesota. I did side with the over as well in this game. I like Chicago and over in this game. I think they both light up the lamp plenty tonight. I looked for it like 5-3 Chicago, but I think Chicago will dominate this game tonight, coming off that West Coast trip and coming home tonight. So I really, really like the Blackhawks an awful lot tonight. Minnesota is just going in the wrong direction right now, and until they can get things straightened out, I don't see things changing real quick for them. I mean, Dubnyk just isn't getting the job done right now, and, you know, he's coming into a place where going against the Hawks, who are just putting up goals and five goals, four goals, four goals, four goals, three goals, three goals. I mean, even when they're losing, they're scoring three. So, I mean, it's not like they're suffering any bit at all. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 games on the road and coming home tonight, I think it'll be a good game before they go into Ottawa 2 days from now. So.
Yeah, man, good point. Looking at that again, was Chicago just played 6 straight on the road?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's interesting because, again, their numbers, it's amazing, the difference between this team being on the road and even some of those bad. Do you have all those up? I wonder if they went 500. Even some of those road games, I remember them winning recently. Am I correct there? What did they go on that 6-year road trip?
Oh, yeah. They won in San Jose 5-2 when it was tied at 2. I think they put up 3 straight. And they beat Anaheim 3-2 and Anaheim 2. And then it was a great game against Los Angeles the other night. I think they actually led that game 2-0 before the Kings came back and won it 3-2. And so, and then they had a competitive game in Calgary. They lost 2-1, and they won in Edmonton 4-3. So, I mean, it was a very good road trip for them. They come home with some confidence off that. And good numbers off of coming off of a road trip of 3 or more games. They're 20-14 in the last 34, which is nothing to scream about, but it's better than, you know, bad numbers. So. My opinion on this game is just that I think that Minnesota is just going in the wrong direction, and Dubnyk is not playing like Dubnyk should be playing right now. And Coach almost lost his job last year before Dubnyk came in and saved his job. So
right.
if this continues, he might be losing his job real quick. So we'll see.
Man, that's why this game is so funny, man. You look at Bernier there, and let's talk about Toronto before we get. We got 3 more games coming up here, but definitely got to talk about. You know, that Toronto game last night, the kid gets his first start in Sparks. He plays well, gets the shutout win, sheds a couple of tears there, man, rightfully so, understandably so, man. You work so hard to get up there. But, that, man, it speaks to, I don't know, is that the game's fickle or just the shit can shift so fast, man. I mean, you look at Calgary, right, the team suddenly nowhere. You look at Dub from a great year, forget the team, just from a great year last year to average to maybe below average, just another guy. Everybody was scared of this guy last year. And then I go over to the same word to Bernier there, just having a crappy season. The guy has no wins, bad, you know, so we all know that wins aren't the number one statistic. But you got a kid come in there and gets a shutout win, and that's got to erode your confidence, man. This team either can't play well in front of me when I play or my game's just not consistent, whatever the things that go through his head. What did you think about that Toronto game and maybe just the goalie – position overall, man, the fickleness of it, like we mentioned, Dub going from 1 year to the next, and suddenly he's an average guy when everybody was crowning him last year.
Yeah, it's a tough position to, you know, be consistent at, you know, on a yearly basis. That's what makes the great ones, rather than just, you know, here to there, because they're able to do it year after year after year, because not a lot of people are. I mean, Fleury's always had the knock that he can't get it done in the playoffs. And until we can break that, you know, stigma, it's going to be that way with it all the time. But, you know, it's like Brodeur was good every year. So that's what made him great. He was just good every single year. He didn't have a bad season. And so a lot of these guys, they get streaky and the team gets behind him, and all of a sudden they play well for a year. Yeah, and everybody's ready to say, you know, they're the next coming. But, you know, until they can do it consistently a year after year after year basis, you're not going to get it. You know, Lundqvist name or whatever, King Henry, you're not going to get that name until you can prove yourself year after year after year. And so, I mean, Dubnyk's actually bounced around the league an awful lot. I think he's been with maybe four teams now. And so, yeah, he did have a good season last year, but, you know, until he can continue to be consistent, I just think that he's just, you know, just another goalie in the league. I give a lot of credit to the kid last night that played in Toronto. He played a great game last night. That was fantastic for him. I'm really happy. I actually liked him a lot, too, earlier last year in the season, too. I just feel bad for any Leaf fans. So they're almost like the Cubs of the NHL, you know. They're not going to win.
Right. Same colors and everything.
Exactly.
Any grief or any problem for you with the decision made by Babcock to play the kid? Maybe kind of, you know, some discussion about a bad message sent to Bernier there that, hey, man, this kid's coming up. Why should he come up? You got one goalie that's hurt. Have him back me up, and I go get the win for us. You have any problem with that? I didn't, but, you know, some did.
You got, you know, when you're in the last place in your division and near the bottom in the conference, either you start shaking some stuff up or else. I mean, and that was one of the wins. They needed a win like that last night. That was not only a win, that was a good win last night. They played very well, and, you know, they deserved to get the W last night. And if it's going to take that to shake this team up, to get them going again, you know, they've got to do something. I mean, we're pushing towards January midseason already, so they've got to get something going here before then. Otherwise, they're going to be just playing out the season, getting ready to go to the golf course.
All right, here we go. We got three more games here in between the three. We'll stop and talk about a certain team. After we'll go to Dallas, Calgary here. Definitely want to talk about the Jets afterwards. Maybe a little bit of Kings talk, man. Kings playing well, leading the division. Definitely interesting, man. This is the first season where I don't have a hatred for the Kings. Again, we'll talk about why I don't hate the Kings this year. Of course, we're talking a little bit of Ducks. And what's another team I'm very interested in talking about here? I'll give you one team. Maybe you make it. Maybe the Tampa Bay Lightning or another team that's on your mind. But let's go Dallas, Calgary first here. This number came to 156 for me. The Dallas going to Calgary still has got to be a big road number. No question. It was a little lower earlier. I thought we had a little value there with Dallas. I thought I saw 140s earlier. Yeah, I saw 143s earlier. Now closer to where the number came out for myself. So I think we still got a good value play with Dallas. But regardless of the value on the line there, I think Dallas goes and gets this win, man. Calgary can't really outscore Dallas. I continue to say Dallas' defense is being overlooked. Niemi's shown some cracks. It might be the first time I might say I like letting in better than Niemi right now. I wasn't saying that earlier, but I think that might be the case now. I got to go look at those numbers. But I think Dallas gets the win here, Ben. No question about it. And I think you're still getting a fair price to play the Stars, even on the road. This is a team that can win on the road. Let me look at the number right now. They are 10-2 on the road. So a great team on the road, actually. So I think they're going to get cash. This team usually gets the puck line win, too. So maybe a little parlay with the Chicago puck line would be in order for myself. How about you?
Well, actually, if you want to look at the schedule, the last two losses for Dallas were both at home. So, yeah, they've done extremely well on the road right now. They've won five in a row on the road, including a win in Minnesota the other night, and they come well-rested into Calgary tonight to start their – I guess they got a three-game West Coast swing, Calgary, Vancouver, and Edmonton the next three. So I think this is a soft line, a very soft line. I think if this was in Dallas, they'd be 220, 230 at least. So I don't understand this line at all. I think it's very cheap. Dallas is probably one of the best teams in the league in the power play, and I think they're going against Calgary, who's the worst. So if Calgary don't stay out of the box, fortify themselves tonight.
Yeah, you mentioned Calgary on the power kill, man. The penalty kill, definitely only 70%, 70.8. You're exactly correct. They are now the worst team. Last year, they got away with it, man. How they did so is they stayed out of the box. Even now, they're fifth ranked as far as power play chances given up. Last year, they were second. They really did a good job of staying out of the box, but the number wasn't as this bad. I think it was somewhere near 78%, maybe 77%. Right now, 70.8% is awful. So anytime they're going into the box, they're usually coming out with the goal as the opposition. Definitely, definitely so. Dallas playing well, even a penalty kill, man. 80.8%, 13th ranked, 10th ranked in power play chances given up. So they stay out of the box pretty well, only giving up 13 or 14 power play goals on the season, 12th ranked there, man. Dallas doing pretty good as far as the special teams are concerned, man. It's a damn good team, Dallas, man. Let's talk about how good are they. Man, how about you? I mean, how good is this team? The team that barely got left out of the playoffs last year, made the push. Ben is a beast. Ben should be on a football team or something. That guy's scary. They have the greatest mix to me of skill and possession. All their possession numbers are good. They do the dirty shit in the paint, and they're skilled. They usually don't get a good mix of this, man. What do you think about this team overall?
I think we discussed this, once again on the show the last time. I've been up there to see them a couple times being here in Houston, so I've been able to get up to Dallas and see them a couple times. This team can win both ways. They can win dirty, and they can also win if you want to skate. They can get the job done both ways. I myself personally think that, you know, they're right now the favorites to win the cup right now. I don't think that there's anything more to be said. They can win both ways. I mean, they can go in and win a game 2-1, or they can win a game, you know, 6-5. They don't care, and they never say quit either. What was Minnesota?
No, this team is scary when they're behind. If they're down 2 goals in the third period, it's scary to watch. It's fun to watch. They destroy. They pelt the hell out of the goaltender, man. If they're down 2 goals late, man, it is fun to watch. You cannot get the goal out of your own defensive zone, man, when this team is down.
I wrote them off against Minnesota the other night when they were down 3-0, and they come back and got 4 in a row against Minnesota the other night, went 4-3 in a game that was just, at the last period, was just absolutely freakish how many times they peppered the goalie. So there is no quitting this team, and like I said, Jamie Benn is probably one of the best players in the league right now, and he's carrying his team, you know, on his shoulders right now, playing extremely well himself. So I just don't. This looks like just an uneven match here. And so Calgary's another one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams. You don't know which team's going to show up. I mean, they played well and beat some teams. They beat Chicago and they beat Pittsburgh, so they are capable of beating good teams. But then they go ahead and, you know, lose to some soft teams. So it's a tough. Maybe that's why the number's a little short. But I look for the over to be a big play in this game, and I actually did move on the over. 5 of the last 6 times these two teams have played has been over the total, including the last game in Calgary was 7 they scored. So with the power play problems that Calgary's having defending and in Dallas, do you have Dallas where they're listed as far as offensively on the power play? Hello?
I think that's a pretty good number. Again, a fair number is rare when you got one of the best teams versus one of the worst teams. And Calgary's no question in anyone's mind, in anyone's ranking, one of the worst teams there. So I think it's very odd to get a even fair price in there. Bad. I was saying the +185. You know, I'm interested there with Dallas, even on the road, because they're so good on the road, because they're likely to get puck line versions. Hell, they had two empty netters on one team. I forgot who it was. I was checking the numbers there, trying to, again, adjust the numbers for empty netters and overtime goals there. And I saw Dallas, man. They have like 2 or 3 games now where they've got 2 empty netters on teams, man. This team feasts on you and kill you, man. I love the way they're playing, man. All right, man. Let's jump. We got 2 more games here. So before we do so, let's talk about another couple of teams, man. Let's talk about the Kings, if you don't mind, and we'll take another team to talk about there. Kings are an interesting team, and they're leading this Pacific Division. You know, I don't have as much hate against them usually because the team, everybody's slurping, everybody's always talking about. Not so much this year. This team's kind of floating under the radar. No one's really mentioning them. San Jose's coming up there in the Pacific Division also. Maybe because the Central is just doing so well, the Pacific is just not being talked about. In fact, the only goddamn team being talked about in the Pacific Division is the Ducks. Everybody is Ducks. Can't wait for the Ducks to win the division. The Ducks aren't winning the damn division. Still waiting for somebody to take a bet for me on that. No one's reached out to me yet. They won't be winning the division. As soon as one of you guys come up with a fair, reasonable, you know, thought-out bet, I'm willing to take it there. Good numbers here. I'll give you a good number, a good price there. We'll make it fun. But, Bad, what do you think about this Kings team, man? Lucic, man, he started off kind of slow, and now he's coming on, man. I like the way they're playing. I can't go as far to say I'm rooting for them, but I'm definitely not rooting against them this year like the previous year. They're even winning on the road, 6-3-1 on the road.
I don't get a lot of chance to see a lot of their games because they, you know, they're late for me here, so I tend to catch like the first or second period if I'm lucky. You know, if I have interest in the game, I might watch the third as well. But, you know, I did watch the other night against, let's see who they played the other night before they played Chicago. Who was that? Bear with me for a second. But the one thing I noticed was they're creating a lot more chances offensively, and I think that they're. It took them a while to get their offensive generated a little bit. And so it was against Chicago because when they were down 2-0, they looked like they were still playing well and could come back. And they did come back and play and win 3-2. But, you know, their offense is creating a lot more than what it was earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And so
they're the number one Fenwick and Corsi team right now for you, for the shot lovers out there. They're doing really good. They're top ranked there.
Are they
so
really?
You,
okay,
you mix
there you
that
go.
Together
okay.
with their
yeah.
The you mix that together with the fact they're scoring. You know, and again, I'll continue to mention it. It's not that I don't care about the possession numbers. I think the other numbers matter also. So it's not that I don't care that so much that the LA is first in Fenwick 4 over the 60 and Corsi 4 over the 60. I think that's great, but they're also mixing it well with scoring, right? I mean, they're doing good as far as scoring the puck also. You know, it was 2 years ago, man. This team was like 29th in scoring. It was awful. You know, when they went going to power play, I had to go to the bathroom. You know, I'd go get a beer.
They
weren't going to make a power play goal.
I think they broke the record for the most totals for 5 in a row, 5 or less, without having a 5.5.
It was
anybody, yeah.
It was funny. This year, look, they're middle of the pack, 19th ranked. So I understand the fact, all these stats there, they're middle of the pack in scoring, they're middle of the pack in shooting percentage. I understand how much now that's going to matter if they're getting a lot of chances. Like you just meant, they're putting it together with a lot of chances and doing enough to score some where that they're doing well winning games. And you mix that with the fact that they're doing the exact opposite when it comes to defense. They're limiting people's chances, and they're not allowing pucks to be scored. They're doing a damn good job, man. Eighth PKL right now, defensive shot percentage, got to be top 5. What are they, third ranked there? They're only allowing 7.5% of the shots to go in, and then they're only giving up 28 shots a goal. You know, I don't care so much about that, but I love that shooting percentage. 7% is amazing, man. There's no bad team with a 7.5 defensive shot percentage. It just doesn't exist. So, you know, for everybody who loves Carolina, their defensive shot percentage is 11%. 11% is awful.
One thing that stands out is they're healthy. You know, and
that might have been a reason why they did
struggle a bit. I don't think they're missing anybody right now. And I think that, you know, I've pressed this issue time and time again over season after season. You cannot win in this league unless you stay healthy. You cannot expect to go deep and go far in this league unless you stay healthy. Even if you don't win a cup, you're going to probably go deep in the cup and play, you know, play a lot longer in the season than a lot of other people if you could stay healthy the whole season. And right now they're very healthy and their play is showing that. They're just more solid on all sides of the puck right now. So and they came off a long road trip too, where they played 5 on the road before they got Chicago at home, and they come home and beat Chicago at home. Now they get Vancouver tonight. I did shade this game a little bit to the over tonight, even though they're that under 5 team all the time. I did go a little bit against the grain tonight on the over in this game, so that's a little bit of a push there.
No, understandably so. First of all, with Markstrom, let's go to that game there. Good transition. With Markstrom in net, straight up power number made this 145. But again, you put Markstrom in net, the guy's just not been having a good time for Vancouver. Vancouver's having a terrible scheduling stretch. I mentioned this last show. They're going on, what was it, let me get this because I found it amazing. 9 of their last 11 games on the road here. You know, now they're going to LA. You get to LA, they get the team on the back to back. You know, thankfully Anaheim didn't get them on the back-to-back. Anaheim always gets teams on the back-to-back. I think LA goes in, probably beats them up. Vancouver's a good team. This is the first time I mentioned today, I'm watching a Hockey Central show today, and this is the first time I've heard people mention, hey, is Vancouver maybe on their way down of dropping? When you think about this Canucks team, I'm not ready to throw them away yet. They still have some pretty good numbers there, bad. So I'm not ready to toss them out. Yet, I'd still give them a better chance to make the playoffs than the Ducks right now. But, you know, I got to admit that this is a terrible scheduling trip for them. So I'd like to see what happens later on. But what do you think about
it? You hit it right on the head. You hit it right on the head. Worst scheduling for any team in the league this year. Unbelievable. They just you look at their schedule and you go, even when you play an extended amount of games at home, it doesn't help you because then you got to go an extended amount on the road, and so it's one way or the other, and you're not, you know, it's good for a team to get on the road every once in a while, play a few games to, you know, get the bonding going and get, you know, camaraderie going and get a team back moving together in the same direction. But when you're playing 11 or 12 out of 13 on the road, out of 14 on the road, come on, that just gets tiring and fatigued after a while, and I, you know, that's what was one of the reasons why I went with Minnesota last week against them. With Minnesota with a big play, and you know, they had Minnesota won like 9 out of 10 at home, and we're at home against Vancouver, and Vancouver was coming off losing 5 out of 6. And as soon as they beat Minnesota, Dallas and Anaheim have just both squashed them back-back, and now they got to go into L.A. on a back-to-back tonight. So, yeah, I like the Kings an awful lot tonight, and I like the over, too.
Yeah, their defensive numbers already pretty average or below average in some instances, man. That defensive shot percentage is creeping up, man, at that 9% now. I mean, you get the 10%, man. You just can't make the playoffs there. And now you put Markstrom in that. It's just a bad recipe. Bad recipe. So this is a game where, understandably, you get a big number on L.A. Totally understandably. I completely agree and wouldn't denounce that too much. Should it be 50 cents high? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But I understand it. All right. Last game here, bad. Last game, Pitt going to San Jose. These are two teams that I want to talk about. San Jose seemingly. Oh, you know I got to talk about your Pens, man. San Jose seemingly on the rise here. Sneaky team playing much better. But the whole, let's say the whole discussion, my whole point for them, if you ask me one word on the Sharks, I'd just say average. They were an average team. They're playing above average now. Secondly, bad nationally. The thought was this is a team that can't win at home. You know, I thought that just they've had a couple of bad luck. They had a couple of good teams. You know, now they got a couple of wins at home beneath their belt. I'm not sure if I'd want Pittsburgh coming to town. I'd rather Calgary or some shitty team. Pittsburgh is a damn good team. So what do you think about the Sharks in general, bad, before we get to the game? Then I'll ask you about the Pens, and then we'll talk about the game. What do you think about the Sharks? What have they been doing? You know, is it a team that definitely makes the playoffs or no?
If they continue to get the goalkeeping from Martin Jones they've been getting lately, I think that they could be very successful. He's been very good this year. Especially recently, he's been phenomenal. So, I mean, I really like him lately. Him and the St. Louis keeper seem to be my two favorite lately as far as getting, you know, defensively get a job done. He's 3-1 the last four, and he's only given up 8 goals in the last 4 games. So, I mean, he's played outstanding the last few games. And what have they won now? 2-4. Yeah, like I said, they went on that 6-game road trip, and they won all 6 games. You don't get to see that very much in the league at all. Beating the likes of Detroit, Boston, Pittsburgh.
And on the East Coast. Columbus. Yeah, on the East Coast trip. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Tough. They lucked up, man. You know, I had Columbus there. I'll take the loss, man. Columbus had that game and kind of gave it away. But the fact was, there's just a team playing with some confidence, coming off 5 straight road wins and ending it. So I'm sure that they're playing with confidence now also, man. They're playing with confidence. They scored 5 on Columbus, was pretty big given what we've seen previously from them. Yeah, it's a scary team. Scary team. I like the way they're playing right now. I'm not interested to jump or go against them.
When they came home, there was a very deceiving loss. The Chicago loss was 5-2 at home, but it was 2-2 late in the game. And Blackhawks put up 3 late, real late in the game. And so that's if you're looking at just numbers, that's very, you know, unreflective of how well they've been playing that game. Really, every once in a while you just have to draw a line through a game, and I think that's one of the games you just draw a line through. They come right back and just totally trounce Calgary 5-2, which is another thing. You're looking at Calgary, just no defense. We get back to that against them playing Dallas tonight, but just playing no defense. San Jose put 5 up on them. So, this game should be quite interesting tonight. Yes.
They destroyed. That game was – I actually turned it off. I've never seen a team score so easily. It was very sad for Hiller. I tweeted out, hey, man, congratulations on the comeback, Hiller. Great for – I'm glad he's back. Poor guy, man. He got murdered. He got murdered. All right, let's get to it, man. Let's talk to the Pens. Badman, the defense is suddenly on the decline. I'm a little worried. This was the stable of this team defensively. A little worried about the defense. So I'll just ask the question flatly. Should we be worried if you're a Pens backer or a fan about the defense? Or, listen, man, the defense will be okay. Look towards the offense or look to something else to be worried about.
Well, this is a San Jose handled Pittsburgh rather easily in Pittsburgh just a couple weeks ago, a week, 10 days ago.
1-0 overtime game. 1-0 overtime game. It was a good game. No, I'm sorry. 3-1.
No, 3-1. They beat them 3-1.
No, you're correct.
Yeah,
you're correct.
Yeah, 3-1, yeah. And the Penguins just look flat, to be honest with you, against them. So San Jose actually is handled Pittsburgh pretty much recently. Looks 11-2 the last 13 games in San Jose. I definitely would not side with Pittsburgh tonight. You know, you asked something on Twitter last week about the Penguins, about them, and I told you that when they lost Olimata, that was probably one of the biggest problems they had for the whole team in general. It's amazing.
I hear he's skating, by the way. I hear he's skating.
Yeah, he is skating, and it's scary to say he could take one guy out of the lineup and it could have team as much as it did, but I really truly believe that had a lot to do with with, you know, just moving their defense around a little bit and stuff, and they're bringing in players that just they're not of that caliber, and you can't expect them to play every night. I mean, you can pull somebody up and play a game or two, but to have them to have to play 3 to 4 weeks and try to fill in for a guy that's probably one of the better younger players in the league, it's just it's not something you're going to get consistency out of. If you were to get consistency out of them, they'd already be playing there. It's always like they say, if something goes wrong and you try to fix it afterwards, why didn't you try to fix it beforehand? You know, so it's something that when they get him back, I think they'll be a different team completely. So,
Let me get this question out to you because I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did tweet you back. I wanted to ask, but if they've only played 5 games with Almada. He went out on the 18th of November. November in general has not been a good defensive month for them. It'd be before that. That's the game. If you remember in New Jersey, they gave up 4 goals to New Jersey. No, they gave up 3 in regulation to Montreal. That's forgiven. But they gave up 5 with the empty netter to Calgary. Now 2 of the 3 were on back to backs. So does this team have a back to back problem? Or if it's just defense, I don't think it's just Mata. That's going to hurt them even more. Something was going wrong that even before then, when you compare November to October.
I think a lot of it had to do with the back-to-backs. I mean, if you look at the back-to-back before Calgary, they won 6 in a row prior to that. You know, and so, I mean, and Montreal's been scoring against everybody. And then the back-to-back was against New Jersey again after a physical game against Columbus that was 2-1 that they lost. That was an absolute war. I tweeted during that whole game, that was one of the best games. That was playoff hockey in the middle of the beginning of the season.
That's a must-watch.
That is
Columbus-Pittsburgh, and that was a must-watch game.
Columbus has beat them 5 straight.
Man, do you remember the playoff series? Man, I thought the Jackets were going to win that playoff series, by the way. And by far, the Penguins were the better team that year. By far, I think I just got a good price with Columbus, and they went down. Is this a rivalry, or it's not enough yet to be a rivalry?
No, it's definitely
going to get there in these 4 years.
No, it's the new rivalry in the league. Nice. I mean, Pittsburgh and Philly will always be there, but this is the new rivalry in the league. If you're going to look for any new rivals, like you said, you find it hard for Calgary to have anybody right now as far as a rival in the league right now. Columbus is in the league, and they've already got one in Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's just absolutely
That's good to know. Yeah. I love watching these games, man. They're contentious. You know there's going to be a fight. You got torch throwing up, throwing fire on the flames there. What's the phrase there? But where he says, hey, man, we don't cry. We'll let the Penguins cry. They cry enough for the league. You know, I like Torch taking a little jab there. I like that if it's a rivalry, then that shit matters. This is what sports all about. It's a little fun. Obviously, you probably hate those comments because you're a fan, but looking back on it from the outside, you know, I think it's fun, and we'll see who wins. Hopefully, they meet in the playoffs. All right, what do you think about this game, man? Pick going to St. Louis or San Jose. I think you're getting a very good price. If you like San Jose, only -130, -125s are out there. Yeah, I got this close. San Jose is actually – Statistically, the better team right now. It was just by the numbers. Doesn't mean they are the better team, but the numbers say they are. And so I think you get a good price with the Sharks tonight.
I certainly would not go against any San Jose backers tonight and just tell them to get off the game. I would not back Pittsburgh tonight. The one thing Pittsburgh does have going for them, if you want to look at anything, they're generally fantastic on the West Coast swing. And it's because some of those West Coast teams play that type of style of hockey that the Penguins want to play, a more free and open game. They're not as physical as you're going to get east. And so Penguins do have a lot of success out west. I think they've won probably 65% of their West Coast swing games over the last few seasons here. So that is one thing they have going for them. But right now I think San Jose is probably one of the hotter teams in the league right now. And you're right, that's a very soft number considering how Pittsburgh has played the last few games, struggling to put the puck in the net. I did side big with the under in this game tonight. I think that Fleury's played good enough to be able to shut San Jose down, and I just don't think Pittsburgh's finding the net enough. So I look for a 3-1 game either way here tonight. But more likely, if I was going to have to sign in the game, I'd probably play against my Penguins to go with San Jose tonight myself. So.
Man, good point on the West Coast trip, because I've remembered that. I remember trying to play against the Pens sometime. Even on the Western Canadian trip also, they tend to go in there and play well. I can't remember the last time. I mean, they didn't win at least 2 out of the last 3. But now they got a good schedule-wise, man. They got San Jose, and then they get a couple of days off before they go to L.A. Anaheim. Congratulations, Ducks. You get another team on the back-to-back you frauds. So once I mean, there's no team that gets teams on the back-to-back more than the damn Ducks. And I realize on the L.A. road trip, someone's got to get the back-to-back, but I swear to God the Ducks have had five this year already, and the year is not even halfway. I swear to God, I know they've had four for sure, and two of them they shouldn't have won. The Florida one they lucked up to, and they lucked up with the Jackets too. The damn Ducks, frauds. All right, so now we get the Kings. They get the Kings. Can they get back-to-back with Anaheim? So good scheduling-wise for Pittsburgh there. They don't have to take the San Jose. That San Jose back-to-back Anaheim. You got to go to L.A. to San Jose or Anaheim to San Jose. That's the shitty one, but they get the Anaheim-L.A. trip. So good scheduling for them.
Yeah, that's not really even back-to-back. So, you know, you get to just probably go walk out of the arena and into the hotel room. So,
exactly.
You know, from a betting perspective on this game tonight, you look at two numbers right now. San Jose is 7-1 the last eight games overall, and the Penguins are 0-10 in their last 10 trips into San Jose. They haven't won in 10 straight games.
Yet. Right,
this looks like almost one of the best bets of the season on the Sharks tonight.
Man, yeah, this is a big mistake by me, man. I should have taken a trip up to San Jose, man, and caught this game, and that should have been a good trip.
Next year we're going to get together, and we're going to make everybody come out to L.A., and Anaheim next year, and we're going to get a big old situation, get everybody together and get crazy in L.A. for a couple days, okay?
Yeah, man, I'm ready to – I've been seeing a game here in a couple of months. It's been a while though. I'm ready to see a game. The last game I saw was the Kings destroy the Canucks in the Staples Center. It was a beatdown. It was fun, but it was bored in the third quarter or third period there. All right, man, we're gonna wrap it up, man. I'll give you the floor. One, what's the best play you think you have tonight? And two, any other team maybe to look forward to? A team that's playing well, or a team that's gonna come up? You know, previous shows has been maybe Buffalo for me. Is Buffalo been playing well? Though they haven't been winning, something like that. A team, hey, keep your eye out for A, B, or C team. Any team you like.
Well, top play of the night is the Blackhawks. Like I said, I think you got two teams going in opposite directions here. I think Blackhawks are finally starting to find the net an awful lot and score some goals, and I think Minnesota is having problems scoring. You get Chicago at home after a little bit of a road trip, and I really look for them to open it up tonight and probably win big tonight, even maybe by three goals. I might like the puck line is there as well. But the one team that I question, and you did just talk briefly about it earlier, was that is having problems right now is Tampa Bay. If Bishop wasn't playing well right now, that team would be in total disarray because they can't.
How ironic is that, Ben? But how ironic is that? That right now, Bishop, the goalie they brung in with a mountain of question marks coming from Philadelphia, who I dubbed way too early King Bishop before the stats said it, just because I wanted to be erratic and funny. And now he's playing damn well, but the team is going to go for him. How ironic is that? Very interesting.
Yes, just
and
they're
hurt. You have to point out that they're hurt. We have to point that out. They are hurt, but even before the injuries, they weren't playing well. It's just now compounding the issue.
They're a conference championship last year, so I mean it's not like they should fall off the shelf as much as they are, and they've always had the offensive ability. So right. I mean, I just being banged up is a little bit of an excuse, but they're not finding the net at all. It's like they're lucky to get, they're lucky if they score a goal or two a game lately, and I don't know what their problem is as far as who's out. I mean, do you have a list of injuries for them right now, by any chance?
Yeah, I wanted to go pull it up because I wanted to see how bad it was. I know it's bad because I keep looking at names that even I'm aware of, and I'm not the best when it comes to names. And I keep seeing names that I know. Oh Jesus, that guy's out. Oh shit, this is bad. Oh man, they got another guy out. Oh man. Yeah, but give me a second. I want to pull that up here.
11, but 4,
even,
5,
even
6.
Back, even in there,
yeah,
even
six,
at the,
6 and 6 and 11, the last 17 they are, which is just
I'm starting to get worried. I saw the question on the show last year, the NHL show, we're talking about the Ducks and Tampa Bay, two good teams, which is more in trouble to win. But no, everybody says both of them are coming out of it. You know, I'm a little worried about Tampa Bay, too, just because everyone else has gotten better. In Tampa Bay there. So let's look at it. I got let me apologize. I always mess everybody's name. I think it's Druin. I know that name. He's a damn good winger there. Druin, young kid, if I'm correct there, right, Bad? You got Johnson. That's a name I know. You got Paquette.
Yeah.
I know that name, too. Two centers. And then you got Palat. I don't know if he's as good. I know the name, but I don't think he's as good as the rest, or is he? Palat, that's
no,
the name I know.
No,
another winger.
The first three were definitely were starters. So, I mean, yeah, and to lose two centers really busts the lines up. I'm a big, like I tell you, staying healthy and keeping a line consistent to me is huge in this sport. If you can keep the same three guys playing together all the time, the chemistry is so much bigger than just having to pull somebody out and play. I do note as well that they're getting ready to go on that same swing as the Penguins. They play Anaheim, San Jose, and L.A. with back-to-back San Jose and L.A. coming up for them.
Yeah,
so
I guarantee they beat the Ducks without the back-to-back situation for the Ducks to lead off. Yeah, I'll call that right now. That's tomorrow. Yeah, I got that line already. The Ducks minus 110.
Yeah, that might be a strong underplay there with Tampa Bay not finding the net
very
and playing
true.
Well defensively.
Very
yeah,
true.
That could be
absolutely.
Yes, yeah. So,
matter of fact, go ahead. Everybody go ahead and lock that in right now because I will be locking that in as soon as we finish the show. Absolutely correct, man. Great underplay for tomorrow. But you know, let's quickly. We only got four games. We'll go through real fast. You got time to go through four? You got to run.
Sure, certainly. No.
All right, let's talk about the four games. It's a short card. So if you guys are listening now, we'll go a little OT extra time for you here or the four lines. I think all of them are pretty fair, except the first and the third. The Toronto-Winnipeg line looks rarely very high for me. Winnipeg minus 180. The dude knows he's the Winnipeg Jets, correct? Get the hell out of here. They're going to throw the Hellebuyck kid again. They're going to get the magic twice in a row. You know, I haven't capped this out, but Toronto, unless Bernier's in net, if Bernier's in net, then yes, man, throw all your money on Winnipeg. But that line's ridiculous. I got a minus 130. We'll see who's in net. What do you think about that one?
They're a team I can't figure out right now. Sometimes you watch them and they look so good defensively, like they're going to stop. They could stop anybody, and then other times they get run up on them. I mean, after the way Toronto played last night, I find it hard not to try to back them a little bit against Winnipeg tomorrow night. I mean, that was
a high number.
I don't know. Does Winnipeg deserve to be 180
no.
over anybody?
Hell no. Absolutely not.
So, I mean, yeah. And so I kind of go against it. I found it funny the other day that Fox News actually put up Atlanta instead of Winnipeg on the scoreboard.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was a few years ago that Atlanta was playing. So, so that's pretty funny. But that's a tough game. Toronto played good defensively last night too. With Winnipeg showing up defensively every once in a while, I might tend to lean a little bit to the under in that game as well. So,
absolutely, Toronto, because their offense and they're not being able to score consistently, that defense actually playing consistently. I'm always looking under there first. Oh, let's go to Rangers Islanders. This will be an interesting game here. You got a fair line. You know, I made it Islanders minus 110, minus 105. I'm seeing about that. It's pretty much a pick 'em game either way. Not shocked there. The Islanders playing better defense, but not scoring consistently enough. Scoring five on the halves, really not surprising to me. Where's this game going to come out? Is it going to be an offensively or a defensive game? This may be a total I'd stay away from. Even though both teams play good defense, bad. You know, as much crap as I'm talking, I do want to see the Rangers play a good defensive game, and they should be able to do so against the Islanders team that doesn't score a lot. So it'd be Rangers or nothing for me, but I'll pass it all the way. I definitely will not be on this game. Go ahead.
I actually probably would go with the Islanders or nothing on this game. I don't think that the Rangers have been playing good enough. I think that Islanders come in off a big win against the Avs, and like you said, I don't think it was that. You know, it's nothing to sit there and write home about to say that was the big game, you know, that they did, you know, a great job against a great team. But New York, the last three games, losing three in a row and then, you know, giving up three to the Canes last night. I mean, to me, that's just unacceptable, you know, unacceptable. So, I don't know. Rangers 6-1 in the last seven against the Islanders. Under 6-1 in the last seven between the two teams. So, and the Rangers come in 13-3 in their last 16 in a 4-6 situation, but they're in tomorrow night. I might tend to side with the over a little bit with the Rangers defense being a little bit off and giving up some goals and the Islanders finally finding a way to find the net. You know, the Rangers aren't going to have any problems finding the net. They're going to score. And so I think five should be an easy number to get to. And hopefully we push it to six, but we'll take a look at that tomorrow. I haven't really had a chance to go over it all that much, but I always tend to go away from a game when it's 6-1 to the under the last seven times. If I like the over, I just tend to just stay away from the game altogether.
I'll predict that this line gets, up towards the Islanders minus 120 before puck drop, man. Again, I think a lot of the possession numbers are driving these lines and the moves there. And the Rangers being last in Fenwick 4 percentage and bottom second to last in Corsi 4 percentage. I think it's going to move a lot of people to the Islanders. You give up 3 against the Canes. So if you like the Rangers, I'd say go ahead and wait. If you like the Isles, I would recommend grabbing it now. Just my own opinion. We'll see if I'm right. I think this line moves towards the Islanders.
Agreed.
Let's go Boston Edmonton. I like this team as Oilers team, man. They're scrappy. Of course, they're missing McDavid there. They can play better defense than they usually do. They can play better defense. They have been playing better defense, bad even the last 4 games. The scoring now is dipped. I think you're starting to see the missing McDavid there. I like the way Hall's playing, but enough of the stars aren't getting it done consistently offensively. So you got Boston coming in. And look, I made this line minus 103 for Edmonton. You know it wasn't going to be anywhere near that. Boston minus 130 on the road. Definitely high, but not high enough for me to take the Oilers here. I think the offense of the Bruins just kind of smother them here. But what do you think happens here? Boston going to Edmonton.
You know, I heard a statement the other night during the game. Do you realize that the Oilers have 8 first-round picks playing for them right now? 8 first-rounders. 8 first-rounders on their roster right now. That's, like, insane. So, whether they've got them from free agency or they've drafted them, which they've drafted a bunch of them over the last couple of years, but I tend to go over in this game. Edmonton's skating really well right now. They looked good against the Penguins the other night. They had a lot more chances than what the 2-1 game showed in overtime there. And I think that there's with Boston stepping up their scoring and Edmonton scoring, I think this should be a high-scoring game. I just think that it could go either way, 4-3, either way.
All right, we talked about Tampa-Anaheim. Again, I'm going to go ahead and lock in my under bet as soon as we finish off. I think that's the smartest play, man. Tampa's offensive numbers are really, really bad. And on the other hand, their defensive numbers are great, best in the league in some cases. They're bad. Anaheim, especially the first P, man. Go ahead and lock in a first P under bet too, man. Anaheim's great defensively and not letting it go offensively. They either have like a big offensive period or they don't score at all, man. So I'd like the first P under also, man. I'll take this game both ways. Sidewise, who knows, man? I'm going to sarcastically say Tampa wins here. But because of my bias against Anaheim. But you get a good number. If you like the Ducks, it's a fair number there for them at home. What do you think happens there?
I think that you hit it right on the head when we say the best play tomorrow night is the Tampa Bay-Anaheim under. In a short schedule with the 4 games, Toronto-Winnipeg really much pretty much of a toss-up. New York-New Jersey a toss-up. Boston-Edmonton a toss-up. And so you got to go look to find something in the last game, and it looks really under in that last game. Looks to be the strongest play. Like you said earlier, if the Lightning aren't going to get something done, it's going to be, this first one. They're actually 5-1 in their last 6 games against Anaheim. They've actually, I think they've taken a point in every game. I think they lost the 1 game in overtime. So that last 6 games, they've competed quite well. And I think if I recall correctly, and I don't have anything in front of me, I think didn't Tampa just beat Anaheim 5-0? In Tampa?
Yes, you're
Tampa
correct. Yeah, I remember that being a shock.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, I remember that being a shock.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, so, I'm always a big proponent. If a team is matched up well against another team, they're it's not a fluke. It's a line of success. So I think, it's a good number you're getting. If you're going to get plus money with Tampa tomorrow, I think it's a good – like you said, Anaheim right now is being overpriced in 3 out of the 4 games they're playing in. And until they can show me a consistency to get, rolling in the right direction, you got to take shots against them whenever you get a chance. And I think tomorrow night's one of those times, so I would go with Tampa Bay and under with Bishop playing well right now.
Lastly, I'll say on the first period stats there, 2 of the better under first period teams, man, 76% to the under in the first period are the Lightning, 71% are the Anaheim, both of them top 10 there. Second-ranked Tampa Bay as far as the least amount of total goals that occur in the first period, 0.96. They don't even average, and I'm talking about both teams. When Tampa plays, it's more likely that you'll see a 0 for both teams than for either team to even have a 1. The average total amount of goals in a first-period game for a Tampa Bay Lightning team, 0.96. The only team better than that is Carolina and their sorry ass at 0.87. But again, both of those teams playing good defense while having – terrible offense. Anaheim 1.13 again, only averaging 1.13 goals to be scored in the first period. Go ahead.
Well, I was big on the Ducks last night. I only had two big plays in the Ducks. I had a total that the Rangers, which didn't get there on the under, and then I did side big with the Ducks. I think you tweeted that you said that the Ducks weren't going to make the playoffs, and I told you that they might not make the playoffs, but they're definitely going to win tonight. So and they did get the job done last night. So I did watch a lot of that game last night, and they're playing a lot of just dump the puck. They seem like the old New Jersey team where they're just playing, you know, when we get possession in their end, we're going to get possession, try to score at that time. They're not looking like they're pushing the puck up the ice at all. And so until I see a different type of play from them, they're an underplay and they're a play against. And so we'll look to go Tampa and under tomorrow.
And this is why I keep telling people to pump the brakes on this whole thing. Ducks are going to make comebacks. They're bad. I mean, if you want to go with what they're doing recently they're giving up the 3.2 goals a game recently. You know,
right.
So, I mean, after they finally realized how to score a puck into the net, and then they forgot how to not allow it to go into the net on the other end. And then even offensively, you adjust for the overtime and empty netters, but they're only scoring 2.2 goals a game their last 10. You know, get the hell out of here. 2.5 if I don't adjust it. And 2.5 is barely average. You know, barely
average.
This is not a team that's back. Right? So easy on slurping the Ducks because they won a couple of games against teams that are on back-to-backs. Suddenly, you know, they're 3 out of the last 7. Suddenly, into the game with Vancouver. So they're now 4 in their last 7, suddenly. So easy on that this team is back. That Pacific Division is not getting a lot of love, but there's some scary teams in there, as people keep realizing as they play Anaheim, or Arizona, excuse me. All right, Matt, where's
exactly.
You on that, man? Damn good show. Damn good show. A lot of free picks there, a lot of good information for everybody. Again, Ben, give out your handicap again. I think if I have it right, People's Champ 23, make sure I get it right there. What's your Twitter handle, man?
I'm at People's Capper on Twitter, and then Bad924 on pregame. So, like we always say, you know, feel free to ask any questions or anything. November has really been as bad as for the Penguins. It's been bad for me as well. So that's been the Penguins' worst month over the whole season, and it's been my worst month over the whole season for the last 3 years too. So hopefully we'll look to bounce back here in December, get some winners for everybody for Christmas. You know, we'll do what we can for you, and that's all we can do.
Absolutely. New month. Let's get some winners, man. Hey, thanks for coming on, Bad. Appreciate it. Everybody, hope you guys get some winners today. Cash some tickets. Talk to you guys next time. Bad, talk to you next time.
Good luck on your card tonight. Good luck on your card. Thanks.
Appreciate
it.